In this episode of the 30 Screams or Less podcast, we wanted to release our uncut version of our Terrifier 2 review to celebrate its return back to theaters. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. Warning, 30 Screams or Less may contain spoilers about movies that have recently been released. If you haven't seen the movie, go watch it, come back, and enjoy the show. Or, if you don't want to waste your time watching the movie and rather have two random horror dudes watch it for you, we got you covered as well. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, where we watch horror movies and review them in 30 minutes or less. I'm Steve.
Wait, and no, I'm Corey.
You know what? We can do that. I don't want to start off like that because it makes it seem like I'm fucking like first fiddle, whatever the fuck. All right. I'm just going to run it through again. Welcome everyone to 30 Screams. No, actually, you know what? Welcome everyone to 30 Screams or Less, where we watch horror movies and review them in 30 minutes or less. Guess what? Finally, we're not reviewing a Shudder movie. Can you believe that, Corey?
I know it took us a while, but I feel like until they start paying us, we got to move on to something else.
Makes sense. I mean, so we had to choose something different. We didn't go with Kakapipi, but this time we went with a service called Screambox. And the movie that we're reviewing today is the epic slasher Terrifier 2, arguably the longest slasher in film history. That's what I would think, right? I mean, that thing, it's 2 hours and 15 minutes long.
It actually is. I believe it holds the record for the longest slasher ever made.
Getting that Guinness World Record stuff going on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, jeez. Yeah,
fucking
that thing.
B-movies.
Yeah, fucking love it. Love myself some B-movies. How are we going to review a 2 hour and 15 minute long movie in 30 minutes or less is beyond me.
We're
going to make it happen. What's that?
I said we're going to do it.
Let's make it happen. We're going to do it. We'll make it happen. We'll bang right through this fucking thing like we usually do. So with that in mind, 30 Screams or Less starts now. Corey, obviously, I got to say, when this movie came out in October, I fucking loved it. I thought it was great. I reviewed it on TikTok, did a little kind of quick thing. It was like a less than a minute interview. It's kind of where this podcast kind of came to mind. And I gave it a 4 out of 5. We'll go into the whole like ratings and everything system down the line towards the end. What did you think?
I was a huge fan of the first movie, so once I found out that Terrifier 2 was actually going to become a thing, or potentially become a thing, because of course, you know, the director, Damien Leone, had to crowdfund Terrifier 2 and blew his budget or his goal out of the water in what, less than 3 hours?
Exactly. So he had a budget of, $50,000? And then like it ended up getting up to $250,000 in less than 3 hours.
Yeah. And like, I love slasher films. Like it's probably one of my favorite styles of horror movie. Jason Voorhees is my favorite of all time. And now that like Art the Clown has been a thing for, you know, 2 films now and a couple of short films, he's probably my number 2 at this point. He's just so menacing.
Oh, damn, that's a hot take. Yeah, Jason, probably my favorite of all time. But then you have your Michael Myers and your Leatherface. Like, these are the classics. But Art the Clown, I think, could go down as a classic slasher villain. And I thought it was great. Obviously, the audience thought it was great, too, because the movie ended up grossing $12 million at the box office from a mere $250,000 budget. It's insane.
Yeah, he's definitely got a cult following at this point. I don't know if I told you, but I'm actually getting an Art the Clown tattoo, like portrait on my leg in February.
Oh, no fucking way. Who's doing that?
Oh, Steve. Steve's going to do it. He's pumped about it. He wants to do a scene from the movie. I'm not sure what yet, though.
Oh, we got to do the scene that we're going to talk about soon. But why don't we actually kind of explain, like, you know, a little bit of background of the movie. We'll talk about the actors and everything there. So movie again, Terrifier 2. The lead actress is Sienna Shaw. I'm sorry. The lead actress. Let me rewind this here. The film is written, directed, edited, and produced by Damien Leone. It stars Lauren Lavera as Sienna Shaw, Elliot Fullman playing her brother, Jonathan Shaw, and of course, Art the Clown, played by David Howard Thornton. So this is Art the Clown's first appearance within the Ninth Circle, but it's since transcended to like the Terrifier series, and Terrifier 2 is the recent installment in that whole series. But you know, with that in mind, now we're really going to dive into the nitty-gritty of this fucking movie, because this movie is so unbelievably violent that there were parts where I was cringing. It's so violent. Dimmick, like, Corey, what is, like, the most violent part of that movie, you think? Because I think you and I might be on the same page about this.
It's no question about it. It's when Sienna gets fucking tortured for, like, 25 minutes. Or what's her face? Allie.
It's when Allie gets tortured for fucking, yeah, forever. The scene went on so excessively long. I mean, no one should be alive after being scalped, back ripped open, arm ripped off, hand split in half, sliced all over, covered with both bleach and salt, followed up with half of their face getting ripped off. Then, to make matters worse, Art covers her in bleach and salt, and the pain is even worse. How the fuck did she survive that all the way through? I have no idea. Like, not a single human being should survive that at all.
I feel like after getting scalped, you'd be dead.
Yeah, I would think, like, the pure shock of your body would just be like, nope, we're good.
Did you notice that he did it with a pair of what looked like construction paper scissors?
Not again with the construction paper scissors. Oh, my God. So all of our episodes, and now I think at this point, just
connected somehow.
Connected. We're creating like our own fucking trilogy just by connecting all these like parts, and naturally kids dying again.
Oh, how does this keep happening?
I don't know how this keeps happening, but we're going to get into that part too.
Yeah, we are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, okay, what do I want to say here? That was one of the most violent scenes of that whole movie. It must have gone on for 15 minutes. Or maybe it felt that long.
How do you feel this rivals to the hacksaw scene from Terrifier 1?
Oh, God, I want to throw up thinking about it.
So I listened to a podcast with Damien Leone on it, and he was talking about how he wanted to make a kill that was worse than the first one. I still don't think he succeeded still. I don't think this whole bleach and salt scene was worse than what happened in the first movie.
Oh, that first kill. Well, not the first kill. That kill in Terrifier 1, we'll say, where the girl's hanging upside down and straight, you know, sawed down the middle, Ed Gein style, is like a nightmare. Like, my girlfriend, she's like, should I check this out? I'm like, yes, but.
Yeah, there's a big but in there.
But yeah, I like that part is it's so damn violent. But I still feel like this scene with Allie getting basically butchered is it's not on the same level. It might be a little bit of a step down, surprisingly, even though it's way gorier, way bloodier. It's way more vivid. It's essentially over the top. But I think it's the matter that if, you know, he's sawing down the middle of a woman hanging upside down, like you kind of just feel that where this you're like, this is absurd violent.
I mean, he kind of does the male version of this kill in this movie, and I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Oh, God. Yeah. There's a few things in movies that make me really cringe. It's like INT stuff and anything genital related. So naturally, the scene from Terrifier 1 where the girl's hanging upside down and he's sawing down the middle of her, I cringed. And I'm not even a girl, not a woman. But to see this guy, like see a guy getting stabbed in the dick and his dick essentially ripped off, that made me cringe a little bit.
Yeah, it was kind of terrible. And like you said, the fact that it dragged on so long kind of made it so much worse.
Oh, God. Yeah, that whole scene.
And like, then like her mother comes home and runs upstairs to see her just hacked up on the bed and Art sitting next to her. What was he doing? He was like peeling her skin off or something.
Yeah, he was just making little small incisions in the girl and just taking pieces off. So like this girl is sitting there the whole time, surprisingly still alive. And he's just, you know, he's just cutting off little chunks and just putting them all over the place. And like in her final breath, like as the mother enters the room, she's like, "Mom, help," like that type deal. I'm like, oh, like, You know, I think death would have helped her even more than her mom could.
Yeah, that I don't even remember how she officially died or what how that scene ended at this point.
There was no end. It just that's all we saw. It was the mother screaming, and then it cut to like the scene where
the trick-or-treater.
Yeah, it cut to the scene with the trick-or-treaters where the mom's head was cut off, and it was like, you know, the skull was cut and stuff like that. And he put the candy inside the mother's head. And the poor kids, they're grabbing the candy like, ew, it's wet.
Why is it sticky?
Oh, God. It's like, you know, it's like when you get a ketchup package and you're holding it and you're like, oh, it's sticky. Gross.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
it's kind of like that. I would be like, this sucks. I don't want this candy. I don't even use that ketchup packet if it's that sticky.
Nah, you got to go wash your hands right away, dude.
Yeah, it's gross.
So I gotta ask you your thoughts on this little asshole Jonathan with his fucking giraffe neck.
Jonathan, he had such a long neck in this. It was almost cartoony. If you looked at it, it's like, actually, it's the first thing I noticed when I like saw the movie for the first time too. I'm like, Jesus, this kid's neck is so long. It's so damn long. But he was a pain in the ass. You know, he did seem like that little pain in the ass brother. So he played the part well, but, you know, part of us, I'm sure we're like, eh, this kid needs to get got.
I was like, I told you, I've never probably rooted against a character so bad in any movie before. Like, I hated him. Him and his stoopy, his fucking squeaky voice and his cartoon Ninja Turtle looking neck.
Neck is so weird. It's like, it's enough about his neck. It's but he does get freaking annihilated a little bit later in the film. Not like too bad, not maimed or anything like that, but yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit more in regards to like how it progresses. But
he did have good taste in music though.
They damn did. Like, he had, what do you have? We like a King Diamond, Arsis, like Overkill, Carnifex, like those kind of metal posters.
Yeah, those were all over his bedroom wall.
Yeah. All, by the way, I've played with Overkill and Carnifex before, so seeing that, I was like, nah, shit, I've played with them. That's kind of
cool. Did you ever get to meet Bobby Blitz?
No, I haven't. I bet that would have been awesome.
He seems like a cool guy for being like his 80s at this point.
Yeah. Oh, geez. Yeah, they're getting up there. They really are. But solid band.
I saw them at Mark's Showplace a long time ago, if you remember that place.
Mark's Showplace. Is that? No, wait. It's called the Gold Club now. It's,
yeah, but back in the day, they used to have like metal shows next door.
Oh yeah, I used to play there as well, and I think one of our first shows as the Summoned, we were playing as like our old incarnation. They were called Of the Betrayed, and It was a fucking weird thing. We played with Cattle Decapitation, and it was crazy. I don't know, it wasn't a great turnout. Cattle Decapitation ruled, of course. And I remember that specifically, but I remember like some of the members of my band having to hang out outside because they were under the age of 18. Meanwhile, I'm the fucking 18-year-old who is like, oh, poops.
Yeah, that place sucks.
Yeah, it's not that great.
It's mainly because it's New Hampshire, but
yeah. So any of you who are in New Hampshire and aren't entertaining the idea of going to a strip club, don't worry about it. They're not all that cracked up to be anyways.
Yeah, it's keep fun. Your ones.
Yeah, keep your ones. Put them towards quarters that you can freaking use for an arcade machine or to wash your car. Whatever.
Or a $4.75 coffee at Starbucks.
Yeah. Or you can go to the Family Dollar now and buy something for $1.25.
Yeah, they raised the prices. What's up with that?
I have no idea.
Why is it still called Dollar General?
I don't know. Like, all these dollar places should be like $1.25. Like, almost like a friggin' building 19 and an eighth.
And did you hear they're bringing back Ames, apparently? Do you remember that place?
Oh, my God. I do remember that place.
Apparently, it's coming back.
I can't believe Ames is coming back. Why is that, of all places, coming back? Bring back fucking Leechmere.
Leechmere? I remember the name, but I don't remember what they sold.
It was like it's an electronics store, kind of like Best Buy, except it was more New England-based.
All the boomers that are listening to this are going to know exactly what we're talking about.
They're like, oh, I remember that all too well. Though I am not a boomer. What am I, a millennial? I don't know. There's a lot of debate about this, whether I'm a millennial or a Gen X or what is it, like XY? I don't know. There's like these weird fucking groupings. So
yeah,
like, especially for the younger kids. That's
Is it like over 30 is a boomer, though?
No, fuck you.
Wow. Did they strike a nerve?
A little bit. I'm not fucking, like, dude, boomers are the people that had, like, the kids, like, crazy, who had families of 45, and they're all eating, like, porridge, you know, for dinner. when then we were like, no, we can't afford that.
All right. Porridge? What the fuck?
I don't know. They were eating something. Something was being made in bulk. I just assumed porridge, you know, like some Oliver Twist style. Just like, please, sir, may I have some more?
Right. You look some more? Rest of porridge now. I'm going to pretend.
I'll have you over some night. I'll make porridge for you.
We'll record an episode in person and have some porridge.
Perfect. You know what I'll do? We'll make some merch. We'll call it fucking like 30 seconds of porridge or like, oh wait, oh hang, horror and fucking porridge, whatever. I don't know. I'll think of something snazzy. I always do.
I like it. This is what's finally going to put us over the top.
Yeah, we're going to sell some shirts about horror porridge.
Porridge, and we're going to put it on Kakapee. They're going to advertise for us.
Fucking ranking in the bucks, dude. Ranking them in.
So coming up with all these ideas on the fly, man.
I don't know. I don't know. That's how my brain works. But we are getting off topic because now we have 15 minutes left.
Yeah, wasn't this podcast, like, isn't there a topic?
Oh, yeah, that's right. There is a topic. It's called Terrifier 2. We're getting back into it. After we had our whole nostalgia rant there. Funny thing, you know how, like, the last episode we were talking about sex scenes. And, you know, see, episode before that, we were talking about Fogs, and I'm like, okay, clearly Steve has some sort of weird sexual issues or things with sex. There was barely any sex in this. Actually, I don't even think there was any sex in this movie.
No.
Other than, like, the girl making out with the dude who then proceeded to get his dick ripped off.
Nah, no sex scenes. It was kind of dumb. Lame. This movie gets an F.
It gets an F for fuckless.
No fucking.
No fucking whatsoever.
So why did Art just randomly go after that dude's dick? He just had to piss.
I think maybe because it was just out in the open, like easy target.
And then he wrote, what did he write? Like just the tip on the window?
Yep, just the tip.
Yep, mocking the dude's shirt. Hey, sidetrack, did you notice that in the very first scene of the movie when Art's like wiping the blood off the back of his head and writing his name in the mirror? Did you notice that?
I did notice that, yep.
The continuity from the first film when he shot himself in the head.
Oh, I do remember that. Fucking crazy. Like it is... It's a perfect seamless transition from Terrifier 1 to Terrifier 2. Like, you could watch them both back to back, and it seems like one continuous movie.
It really did. Like, I love, like, that whole opening scene of him walking through the alleyway, and it kept cutting over to that. I'm assuming he was in a morgue.
Yeah, he was in the morgue, and, you know, he, like, in the Terrifier 1, he entered the morgue after getting, like, you know, shot in the head, and then... They pull the covers off of him. He's doing his Art smile. The lights goes out or whatever. And that's how like the movie ends for Terrifier 1. And then naturally you see like the brutality of it in Terrifier 2 where, you know, the mortician is just getting annihilated by him. And Art rips out his eye and puts it in his own head for fun. And he writes the art on the like, the mirror or whatever in blood. And then he proceeds to bang, like bash this mortician's head in like you wouldn't believe. And then he starts playing with his brain.
Yeah, that was pretty epic. I loved it.
It's so gnarly. It's
a cool opening.
It is a very cool opening. I'm surprised if any podcast, I'm sorry if any service is going to freaking allow this podcast to be released because we're talking so fucking violent right now. Like this should be NC-17 type deal.
You know, another thing I loved about this movie and the first one was the score. I love the music. I have the vinyl of the first movie. I have the second one pre-ordered. I don't have it yet in hand, but that whoever the composer is does a great job making, you know, the sounds for this films.
I would love to have that on vinyl. You kidding me? But I also need a vinyl setup. I have the player, but I just don't have the speakers.
Get some cheap shit on Amazon. I mean, I just use PC speakers.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
I have those. So maybe I can make that happen then.
It's
worth it. Well, yeah, because vinyl sounds way different. And especially your horror soundtracks. Oh, forget it. I bet that sounds fantastic.
That's all I buy.
Horror soundtracks?
Horror and Disney. I love Disney movies.
Those are two opposite ends of the spectrum, my friend.
Yeah, I recently got the Encanto soundtrack. I've been trying to find that for a little while.
Oh, wow. Nice.
Found it.
Damn. Yeah, you'd be surprised what's out there for vinyl. There's all sorts of fucking different... obviously, there's thousands upon thousands of horror movies. There's a vinyl somewhere. Or, like, who do you go through for your vinyl? There's, like, a special company that you use to get these things, right?
I've used a few. I use Waxworks Records mainly, but forget who does the one for Terrifier. Oh, Paul Wiley is his name. He's the composer.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah, I thought... the music for the soundtrack was really cool as well. It was very atmospheric, very just kind of like menacing, and like gave a lot of suspense to the movie.
Yeah. And so this other company I used is called, what is it? Sensory Recordings. And that's who releases the Terrifier scores.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And they only made like, I think 1,000 copies of the score itself on wax.
Oh, no shit. Wow. That's that's limited edition then.
Yeah, fuck it. Just listen to it on Spotify.
Fuck it. You know what? That's where I listen to a lot of my horror soundtracks. Most of the time I listen to them on there, and I just go on my work day.
I do when I'm not like in my home office, because my record player's in there. If I'm not there, I'm definitely on Spotify.
Oh, yeah. Makes sense. All right. So, yeah, we got to get back into it. We're running low on time again. So
Our dude getting stabbed in the dick.
Oh, no, we talked about that.
I know, but that was the last thing we talked about.
Oh, so we're just bringing it back to stabbing in the dick. Lovely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back to genitals.
All right. Back to genitals. So this is the scene where Sienna is going to save her brother and try to find him, because what I don't get, though, is why Art kidnapped the brother to lure in Sienna. It's just like, it doesn't make sense to me, because Art was going to kill the kid anyways. You know, you just think that with, you know, being Art the clown, you kill the kid, you just go find the girl. You know, it's maybe he just like was trying to do a two birds, one stone deal. I don't know. But it's almost like he took it a little easy on the kid at first for whatever reason.
Oh, it's just it's like almost one of those typical, like, you know, families fighting for family kind of thing, where for whatever reason he wanted the girl. So he just kidnapped the kid because then she's going to come to him.
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's, they tend to do a lot of stuff like that in movies, like the whole hostage thing. If you want to see your brother again, come to this place, blah, blah, blah. But the way they did it was a little different, because the whole time, this whole movie, Art has like this accomplice, if you will. Not an accomplice, but I don't know. It's like this entity that's with him, this girl, little girl. She appears at the beginning where in the laundromat, she shits all over the place. And, you know, she's playing patty cake with Art the Clown, while there's another person in the laundromat who's just watching Art the Clown sitting there naked playing patty cake with an invisible being.
So I was reading, too, regarding that girl, the actress that played her. Her name's Amelie McLean. That was actually her first acting gig.
No shit. Good for her.
Yeah. And obviously she's young, so.
Obviously, yeah. So I'm sure she has like quite the career ahead of her.
Imagine your first acting gig being that.
Yeah, basically being one of the like the lead characters in a movie. Not bad, I say.
About a clown murdering people.
Exactly. But fantastic. Hey, it made $12 million at the box office. So, you know, a hell of a way to start, I say. So like the other thing I don't get about this little girl that's like constantly with Art, and only certain people can see her. So the Shaw family, Sienna and a brother, they can see her, but no one else can. So the person in the laundromat who Art killed towards the beginning couldn't see her or anything like that. It was very odd. It just seems like there was some sort of link between Art and the Shaw family. But then there was the father who had this whole book of drawings, and Art was portrayed in it. And Sienna was also made in it to be like the hero of this whole thing. Like she was supposed to come in and save the day and take out Art the clown. But the only thing I can think of is it's some sort of spiritual connection between the girl, that location, and the whole family and Art the clown.
I kind of agree, because there's got to be some connection with Art being who Art is to what their father was drawing, especially where there was that like sword thing. They kept making a lot of reference, like pointing towards that sword a lot, plus mm-hmm. the armor that Sienna was building the whole show to, or the whole movie to go to that Halloween party, all from that book her father was drawing.
Yeah, exactly. He portrayed her in the book as like the heroine, if you will. And this little girl, she's all over the place. And there was even a part where the little girl puts images of Sienna's mother being killed by Art the Clown into her head, similar to the end of 1994's The Crow, where Eric Draven put his hands on the main villain's head on top of the roof and killed him. they did that same deal. It's so that's where I'm getting at, whether she's, is she real? Is she solely in the minds of Art the Clown and the Shaw family? Is Art the Clown part of the Shaw family?
I think we're going to find out in the third one.
Part of me thinks that Art the Clown might be a relative. And the reason why the father was able to draw him, the reason why the father was able to draw him is because of some sort of lineage where maybe Art the Clown was always around, like almost like Pennywise style. But it was like maybe this secret family, maybe it was this family secret that he was not supposed to be like brought to life or brought to everyone's attention.
I don't know. I think, like you said, I think in the third film, I'm sure there's going to be one that we're going to find out that they're all related somehow.
Oh, yeah. Well, they already even set it up for the third film, because at the end, when Sienna cuts off Art the Clown's head, the little girl that is just, we can't determine whether she's real or fake, she picks up Art the Clown's head and walks into the amusement park, the Terrifier ride. But you know what's funny about that, too, is like, that part happens, but then there's that secret scene at the end of the movie as well, like at the end credits, post-credits scene, where they build Chris Jericho being in this movie like as one of the lead friggin' characters. He was only in this scene at the very end, the post-credits, for maybe 2 minutes. And they, I don't know why, like, I don't know if they were doing that just to build up promotion for the movie or whatever, but he was only in there for like 2 minutes.
Oh, they definitely put his name in the, like, the very beginning of the movie just to put a big name in there, because he's definitely their, you know, most well-known actor in the film.
Oh, yeah. I feel like a lot of the actors in that film, other than Chris Jericho, were relatively unknown actors. I'm sure they have some stuff to their credits, but probably more independent stuff. So Chris Jericho obviously had way more credits. Not like big credits or anything. I mean, maybe he's got MacGruber under his belt, but that's about it. I don't know. He's got some other things. They're mostly just small little roles. You'll see Jericho on screen and go, oh, shit, that's Chris Jericho.
So that whole ending scene with Chris Jericho, like, we'll talk about that a little bit. When they show the inside of the insane asylum where Vicky, if those of you don't know, Vicky survived Art in the first movie. She's apparently in love with Art and is pregnant with Art's head.
Yeah, I saw that. I couldn't make much sense of it. That's where I'm going into the whole idea that Art is maybe a supernatural entity who literally can't die. And I don't know, maybe she just keeps giving birth to parts of his body.
That's actually good.
That's good? You like that?
That's a good theory. I like that.
I like that. I think that's all right. Or what happens is, you know, maybe she just... Maybe his body grows off the head, fucking Deadpool style.
That could happen too.
Who knows? Maybe he's got a little...
He gets some Wolverine shit going on where he could just like regenerate body parts and heal himself and stuff.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, he just completely just can regenerate, no problem. Oh, my head's cut off. No big deal. Can you imagine that? I'd be like, fuck this. My head. I'm done with my head today. Oh, geez. We just ran out of time. Google timer is freaking going off on me. But I think we can do like another minute, because after I edit this shit, you know, it might be under 30 minutes, but it does go quick. So another thing I wanted to talk about was like this whole scene with Sienna falling into a giant hole in the water and ending in the water tank and being stabbed, like only to rise up like a phoenix from the ashes. Couldn't make much sense of that scene. What did you think about that, Dimick?
I honestly don't know. It's almost like the director got like high on mushrooms or some shit and couldn't. He had some like filler he needed to make up or something, because it didn't make any sense. I mean, it pulled her down into that tank and that clown cafe shit where she's like watching everyone burn that we saw from towards the beginning of the movie. She was reliving that whole thing that she saw in her dream.
Oh, yeah. That clown cafe part towards the beginning was bonkers.
Yeah. And that song is going to be stuck in my head now for the rest of the week.
Yeah. Fucking tell me about it.
But that whole scene was fucked up.
Yeah. It was almost very cartoony, like almost like kind of superhero type style. And it didn't really flow with the whole feel of the movie.
It was like some Pee-wee's Playhouse shit.
Don't knock on Pee-wee's Playhouse. Okay, good.
No. We talked about how Pee-wee's Playhouse is incredible, but it was very much like that.
It was some sort of fever dream. Pee-wee's Playhouse is a fever dream.
Yep, definitely.
But that whole scene, it was very weird. She, you know, it's almost like she was able to regenerate. Now I'm thinking, okay, hear me out. Art the Clown can, like, he basically can't die. We've established that he can be born as a head. Sienna can apparently heal herself through this friggin' sword. So now, is there some sort of bloodline between Art and the Shaw family where they're able to just regenerate and save themselves, like, from mortal wounds?
I don't know, man. I'm lost on the whole connection, like what he's going with and what the relation is going to end up being, because, like, why did she need to basically be Wonder Woman to make this movie end?
That's essentially what happened. She became Wonder Woman.
DC is going to go after Damian Leon now.
Yeah, Damian Leon's like, life is good, but it could be better.
Yeah.
And then DC comes in and is like, oh, okay, life's not that good at the moment.
Yeah. DC and Jason Momoa are coming for that ass.
Mm-hmm. Don't want to mess with them. No way.
Now, so, I don't really understand that whole tank scene.
Yeah, me neither. So essentially, Sienna cuts off Art's head. Girl picks it up. End scene. Finn, that type deal. Post credits. Chris that Jericho.
Weapon that Art built in the beginning of the movie that she ends up essentially using against him, that like table leg with the knives and spikes hanging out of it.
Oh, that thing was so gnarly. Yeah. Oh my God.
Or the whip he made with the scissors and what are those knives called they use at the hospital? Scalpels, yeah. He's just whipping Sienna and Jonathan with it.
So gnarly. But then Sienna, obviously, she got that whip and started going to town on Art the Clown, which it was awesome. It's like those two were awesome, like villain and hero, you know, just going back and forth like that.
I just wish he whipped Jonathan more.
Fuck Jonathan. But at least he got his Achilles heels eaten, basically.
What the fuck was that, too? He's like literally eating his ankles.
Yeah, like he just wakes up from his like being knocked out and the clown is going off on his Achilles tendons and just like fucking mowing down on it. And the kid's like, ah! Like fucking whiny ass Jonathan again. Can't take getting his Achilles tendons eaten.
It would have been better if Art went for his fucking meaty neck.
Well, it would take him fucking weeks to go through it.
We could like lead into the third movie with just Art snacking on Jonathan's neck.
That would last for 6 films.
I'll take it as long as Jonathan isn't alive anymore.
Oh, more of that again. More of the kids getting killed. Oh, it seems like I know you can't help it. It seems like we can't have a single episode without talking about
this. Let's see what the fourth one's going to be about. See if we can break the trend. We're going to try. We'll try, guys. We're going to try and avoid talking about killing kids, but can't promise anything.
Maybe we'll review some horror Disney movie, like fucking Hocus Pocus or some shit. And like, oh no, kids like are dying that too, technically, right?
And that movie's about like kids being sacrificed.
Oh God. Okay, so we have to find a movie where some sort of kid is not being sacrificed, not being killed, not being this, not being that.
Matilda?
I guess.
No one's going to listen to that shit. We'll have to change the name of the show.
Yeah, 30 Screams or fuck off.
Yeah. 30 Screams or get the fuck out.
So, we're not reviewing Matilda. Sorry, everyone. This is a horror podcast. Maybe every once in a while, we'll kind of venture off and do something fun. We were talking about doing Violent Night. That's a little different. Maybe we'll do that. Why not? So, with that in mind, we're basically at time. We honestly might be over time. We'll see once I'm done editing. But with
who
that
gives
in mind,
a fuck? This is our podcast.
That's true, but it's 30 Screams or less.
Whatever, it's 33 or 34 screams or less this time. I don't give a shit.
Let's catch 33 screams or less.
All right.
So
33 screams or get the fuck out.
Yep. 36 crazy screams.
All right. 36 screams of night.
Perfect. We're just going to start using, like, we'll just start using band names and movies and just start throwing our name in there.
36 we did that... crazy screams.
Yeah, exactly. We did that all the way back from Canada one time. Everyone was just putting my name in every single movie title. Like, what's one? I don't know. I'm trying to think of a movie. Jurassic Steve or Night at the Steveberry.
I like it.
It's so stupid. It went on for 4 hours. I was like, all right, guys, I'm done. Enough.
Did you see any dead bodies on the highway?
It was about to be me. Being the dead body on the highway, jumping out of the van to my death.
Nothing like us coming back from New Jersey.
No, nothing like that. No, nothing like our New Jersey ride where there was an actual fatality. That was a bit much.
It wasn't a kid, though.
It was not a kid, which is reassuring, I guess, but not at the same time.
No.
So, all right, everyone, be sure to check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/30screamsorless. Also, we're on Twitter now. At 30 Screams or Less, so be sure to join in on the conversation there. Subscribe to us on YouTube at 30 Screams or Less as well. We'll be throwing video content up there at some point. And if you have any film you want us to review in particular, be sure to comment to us on Facebook, mention us on Twitter, or send us an email to 30screamsorless@gmail.com and let us know where we can find it and the movie, obviously, that you want us to review.
And if you don't do that, we're just going to keep talking about shit you guys don't want to hear about. So,
yeah, goddamn right. But no, as far as I've gathered, a lot of people don't like Matilda. Yeah, like Matilda. Okay, next episode, we're doing Matilda. Sorry, everyone.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah, well, that's why we got to get people to come into the social medias and, you know, give us their opinion.
Guys, if you want this train back on the rails, you got to make suggestions.
Yep, we need suggestions. We've got plenty in mind, but if you have some, let us know. So, everyone, with that in mind, I'm Steve.
And I'm Corey.
And thank you for listening to 30 Screams or Less.
See you later.
Have a good one, everyone.